I remember hearing a story about three prospectors who found a rich vein of gold during the gold rush days. They realised what a great discovery they had and decided, we've finally found a really good thing that's going on around here, as long as no one else finds out about it. So they each took a vow to keep it a secret. They then headed for town to file their claims and get the equipment necessary to mine the gold. And true to their vows, they didn't say a word to anybody. They filed their claim, bought the equipment, and headed back to their mine. But when they did, a crowd of people followed them. And the reason this happened was because the expressions on their face had given it away. Their faces were aglow in anticipation of the wealth that would soon be theirs. And people knew that they must have found something very special. So the crowd followed them out of town. Has that ever happened with you? It happens with me all the time. I can't hide anything off my face. You know, each year we celebrate the birth of Jesus and the world pauses to celebrate Christmas in many different ways. We, as Christians, celebrate Jesus' death and resurrection, and most of the world recognises Easter as a very special day on the Christian calendar. But today is what's called Pentecost. And hardly anyone realises it. Yet this day is important because Pentecost is the birthday of the church. And Acts chapter 2 tells us about the creation of the church. So we're just going to read that. It'll be up on the screen. So it's Acts chapter 2 verses 1 to 13 and then 36 to 41. When the day of Pentecost came, they were suddenly all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. It's interesting that Acts chapter 2 verse 13 tells us that some of the people who were passing by the apostles reached the conclusion that they were drunk. This verse tells us something of the excitement and the spirit of joy that the apostles experienced on that day so long ago. Pentecost tells us that early Christians discovered an unspeakable joy in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That Pentecost was a once-in-history event when the church was born. And today I'd like to share with you three things that we can learn from Pentecost. The first is that we see that the church was created by God. From the beginning of time, before the foundation of the world, God had in his mind the church. And he promised that even the gates of Hades would not prevail against it. So Jesus came into the world, and after his death, burial and resurrection, the church was formed. And the church becomes a reality on the day of Pentecost. Now, I've often thought about this, and sometimes, you know, you might have as well, that Simon Peter maybe called a meeting of the apostles and said to them, you know, now we're here today and we're going to talk about whether or not we start a church. So they discuss that for a while. And then James makes a motion that they start a church. John seconds the motion and they vote 10 to 2 to start a church. Well, it didn't happen that way, even though it happens that way a lot in churches, doesn't it now? The Bible tells us that in verse 2, that suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from. Where? Well, it came from heaven. And God started the church. God created the church and brought the church into being. And it's his church, not ours. A radio station once rang a commercial for a Christian denomination. This particular church was advertising for their members to come back to them. The commercial actually said that the denomination realised that they'd made a mistake. So we drifted away from the foundation upon which the church was built, and now we're returning. We're turning back to the Word of God. So please come back home again, was basically what they were saying. And I found it really interesting, because for many churches, the temptation has been to look out at what's happening in the world and then to try and step into the world as the church and make it happen. Now, the church, I don't think, will ever be the most popular institution in the world, because we go counterculture to what popular culture believes. But I believe that God wants us, as the church, to stand for the truth and to be unshakable in our presentation of the gospel, because it belongs to God. Secondly, the second thing we can learn is that the purpose of the church is to communicate the love of God with the lost and dying world. One theme of Pentecost, believe it or not, is communication. Now, the apostles did have a problem with communication because they were people that had come from many different nations. When we read that long list of nations that I couldn't pronounce very well, we realise that, yeah, a language barrier existed. But because God wanted them to hear the message, his message, in each of their own languages, he performed a miracle. So for the first time in their lives, this motley mob was hearing the word of God in a way that struck home to their hearts and they could understand it. The power of the Spirit was such that it had given these disciples a message that could reach every heart. Now, if the purpose of the church is to communicate the message, what is the church doing about it? Well, you know, scriptures get translated into different languages, winning converts from different countries. And then often people will go back as missionaries to their own people to spread the word of God. You know, we are called, each of us, to do whatever we can to spread the message of the love of God to a lost and dying world. And this purpose has never changed. And the moment you become a Christian, God commissions us to share this simple message with our little world in the corner. Sorry, our little corner of the world. Now, has anyone ever heard of Rock and Roland Stewart? No? So he's a man who attends major sporting events in America, and he hangs a banner over the fence that says John 3:16. And his story is unique. So he was an alcoholic, and he met Jesus, accepted him as his saviour and became a Christian. And God healed him of his alcoholism. And one day, an idea struck him that if he could just get to major sporting events and put the word of God before the people, it would be seen by hundreds of thousands, probably even millions of people through the power of the media. So today, Rock and Roland Stewart, don't know why he's called that, and a friend named William James live a very Spartan existence. They drive thousands of kilometres a year in an old beat-up van around America telling their story. And they use their money to buy tickets to the major sporting events to hang out a banner saying John 3:16. And I wonder how many tens of thousands of people all over the world have maybe turned to a Bible and looked up what John 3:16 says, which Leanne told us earlier, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And I wonder how many people do that because of rock and roll and Stuart. You know, going to a major sporting event and hanging out a sign with John 3:16 on it may not be your thing. I say it's not mine. But the point is, here is a man who heard God's command to tell the world and obeyed it. You see, when you and I are saved by the blood of Jesus and added to his family, then God expects us to do the best we can to communicate that message to a lost and dying world. That is the purpose of the church. And thirdly, the goal of the church is to establish a fellowship that is unique. You know, on the day of Pentecost, there were 3,000 new converts, and they suddenly share something new that has never been shared before. Can you imagine those early Christians, what it was like when they first heard the good news of Jesus? And all of them know that they are guilty and have crucified Christ by their sins. But now they have repented of their sins and been baptized. They've been redeemed and given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And suddenly they are part of a new fellowship. They've come out of a world of slavery and superstition. They've come out of a world of selfishness and greed and dishonesty. And they are part of a new culture where they can share things about themselves with others and know that the other people will listen and be compassionate and kind. They know that they will hear the truth. And suddenly a whole different atmosphere prevailed because here were 3,000 changed people that God made different and new. You could say they were born again. No wonder their number grew quickly to 5,000 and then into multitudes as the church spread throughout Jerusalem and the world. More and more people were attracted to this new phenomenon called the church, as it was different to anything else that was happening in the world. You know, the church must always be that, different from anything else in the world. Most institutions are only interested in what they can get from you, but the church wants to give. Many may take advantage of you, but the church is where you can come and hear the truth, be ministered to, and where the needs of your life will be met. God has called us to be different people, to be in the world, but not of it. You could say an oasis in the midst of a desert, a shade tree on a summer day, a cup of cool water when you are thirsty. Church is a place to come and know that you won't be rejected, that you'll be accepted and loved as part of the family of God. The world changed after Pentecost because of the church's influence on that world. And as a church in today's world, the Salvation Army at Woden Valley, we should be making a difference and being an influence in our local community here in Woden Valley and Western Creek. I believe we are. But we always need to be aware of these things, to be making that difference, to have a purpose and have a goal. So this morning, if you're feeling lonely or tired or feel taken advantage of, then know that within these walls there are other people just like you. We can come without pretending. We can just be ourselves, warts and all, and find love and acceptance, because that is what the church is, the family of God. I want to ask the band if they can come back up, and we're going to sing a song that asks God's Holy Spirit to rain down on us. And as we sing this song, maybe you're feeling led to come out this front this morning and pray.